Oh, the Lord is coming again. Would you give him a hand of praise? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I want to talk to you tonight about the essentials. And this is number 7 of 8. To next Sunday night will be the last finale. And we're talking about things that are absolutely necessary. I mean, extremely important, urgent. And we've covered praise. Is he sent? Folks, we've got to learn how to praise God. And I mean, not just in church, but on our jobs. Worship is essential. Now, you say that praise and worship is the same. No, go back and listen to the message. Worship covers even deeper. We talked about your Bible is essential. Reading the Word of God. Your dedication is essential. Your church attendance is essential. And I know there's great dangers, and you've got to make good health decisions, and we're not to tempt the Lord our God. But I got to thinking about there are consequences of not going to church. Amen. If you're just staying home, so I'm urging you to take a risk. Sometimes you got to take a risk. Be careful. Wear your face mask if you need to. I just believe we don't need to get out of the mindset of going and attending church on a weekly basis. Our pastoral leadership, we are not of the opinion of just shutting down church again. We are going to have church if it's just 2 or 3 gathered in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're going to be safe and careful, so you can do both, but I promise you that staying home from church and just being by yourself, we need church attendance in the house. It's essential. Can you say amen? And then I talked to you last Sunday night about your daily devotion, your daily walk with the Lord, and then next Sunday night, I'm going to talk to you about witnessing. Folks, we need to tell people about Jesus Christ. We need to talk to our family. The holidays are coming up, and I'm asking the Lord to give me an opportunity to witness to my family, my friends, my neighbors. It's essential, folks. We've got to win souls. And so that's what it's all about, essentials. Now, tonight, you're being ready for the Lord's soon return. Would you stand with me tonight, and let's go to 2 scriptures, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 44, and also Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28. If you're glad to be here tonight, say amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 44. Therefore, what does it say? Oh, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man come. Be ye ready. Just 2 words. Be ready. Say that with me. Be ready. Sounds like to me that's an essential. Amen? I know we've got to wear a face mask. I know that when we're out in public, we've got to social distance, possibly, presumably. But I'll tell you what else is essential, is that we be ready for the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. A worldly church is not looking for the soon return of the Lord. A church that is not worldly, I promise you, is looking for the soon return of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that what? Look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Father, help us to be looking and hastening. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, anoint your servant to preach the word, and God will give you praise for what you will accomplish in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. And as you're being seated, ask somebody, are you ready for the Lord's return? Ask them. Amen. There is an event that is soon to happen where news organizations will say, we interrupt this program. Millions have disappeared. There's coming an event where airplanes piloted by Christians will drop from the sky. Cars driven by Christians will veer off their course. Interstates will become backlogged. Shopping mall security cameras will show footage of people walking and then instantly many of them disappearing, vanishing. Churches will be having service somewhere in this world, gathered in a congregation like this, And in a moment, poof, the sanctuaries are almost empty. There's coming a time when babies will be snatched from their mother's arms. There'll come a time when you'll be at a funeral and you'll go to the graveside. And as the body is there, and they have the dirt somewhere around where the grave has been dug, and there will be a funeral going on and somebody at the graveside, and all of a sudden, poof, dust is flying everywhere in the air, because all over that cemetery, graves have been burst open. Folks, the Lord is soon to return. Let's get ready. He is coming again, and I want us to give him a praise. What a time that's going to be when the Lord returns. And the trumpet sounds, and he catches his bride away, and we praise God. It's called the rapture. Say the rapture. The rapture of the church, the pre-tribulational rapture, the surprise, the any moment could happen now, perhaps today, perhaps tomorrow. We are a church of sound doctrine, and anybody that gets on Facebook or YouTube video and says that the rapture is not soon to take place, or it's going to take place later, or it's going to happen not at all, I want you, you can listen to them if you want to, but I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker, because my Lord is soon to break through on that eastern sky, and I want to be ready. I believe it's essential that if we're going to make that event a reality in our life, we need to be ready for it. Amen. It's essential that you are ready for the coming of the Lord. So I want to give you three things tonight on how not to miss the rapture. Now, question, does anybody here tonight not want to miss the rapture? You want to be in the rapture. Let me see your hands tonight. Amen. I want to guarantee how essential that you will not miss the rapture. Point number one tonight is, number one, acknowledge the coming of the Lord. There are people who are not acknowledging the coming of the Lord. Before the COVID-19 crisis hit, people were just going, and economy, and here and there, and all of a sudden, everything changes with a worldwide pandemic. Now, folks, I want to tell you what we're experiencing with the COVID-19 crisis is just the scratch on the surface. It is just the beginning of sorrows. We've got to understand this is a birth pain. You're talking about a crisis that's hit the White House to some of your houses. Understand that God is getting this world ready for the tribulation period. And if you think this is bad, you don't want to be here during that tribulation period when all kinds of plagues and all kinds of horror is hit in this world to make COVID look like a day at Disney World. Friend, he is coming. He's trying to get our attention. And it's essential that we acknowledge the coming of the Lord. Now, why believe in the rapture? Why believe? Because not everybody believes in the rapture of the church. Why is that? Well, some people look at 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 52, and they say, they read this scripture, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. In a moment," verse 52, "in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump." Now, a lot of people, now this is talking about the rapture, but they're saying, the last trump. And if you'll read the book of Revelation, you'll see that there is the seven trumpets. And so they say, so the seventh trumpet is not going to sound to well into the tribulation period. So therefore, the rapture is not going to take place before the tribulation. It's going to take place at the last trumpet during the tribulation. Well, to be very honest with you, that just is not the case. The seven trumpets of Revelation are exactly that. The trumpets that will sound during the tribulation. There's the seven bowls, the seven trumpets, and the seven something else's. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I want you to know that they are different. Now, what could this last trump be referring to? You're talking about the rapture. Yeah, well, it could be the last trumpet that Christians will hear. It could be the last trump for the church age. It could be that there'll be two trumpet blasts. The first trumpet will raise the dead in Christ. The second trumpet will be those those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Don't make the last trump of 1 Corinthians 15 the trumpets of Revelation 17. They are a Revelation chapter, a Revelation period. They are totally different. The trumpet of the Lord is going to sound, and it is a rapture trumpet. And I'm listening for Gabriel to blow that trumpet any moment now. The Lord is soon to return. Amen. Some people also point out that during the tribulation period, there seems to be Christians during the tribulation. And they say, well, if they're Christians during the tribulation period, then maybe the rapture didn't take all the Christians out. Maybe the rapture is after the tribulation or in the middle of the tribulation. They point to scriptures like Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25. And he, the Antichrist, shall wear out the saints. They say, well, if the rapture's taken place, then there's no saints left for the devil, for the Antichrist to wear out. So therefore, there must not be a soon rapture of the church. Well, when you go back again and study the whole scripture and you study the book of Revelation, I can explain this easily. Let me tell you, during the tribulation period, there are going to be millions converted. There's going to be a worldwide revival like you've never seen before. And you might look at me like, what? You've got to read the book of Revelation. There's already mention of 144,000 Jewish on fire evangelists that are going to go. Why are they there? They're not there just to sing Kumbaya. They're not there just to have a little meeting among themselves. They're there to win souls and to tell people about the coming of Jesus Christ, the second return of Jesus Christ, not the rapture. It's already taken place. Millions will be saved. And the saints that they're talking about in the book of Daniel and the Christians that are mentioned in the book of Revelation are those who have gotten saved after the rapture. So that explains both. Let me tell you, friend, there's some of you and some of your family, you've told them and you've preached to them and you've mentioned to them that the Lord is coming and be ready. And all of a sudden, they're going to find themselves two words, left behind. Oh, I do believe there's a lot of our friends and family. We've tried, we've prayed, we've fasted. You can't get them to a prayer meeting. You can't get them to church. They go months and maybe Easter, you have to wish them a Merry Christmas. And at Christmas, you'll say, I'll see them at Easter. And they are lukewarm and dead. They never tithe, never. And they think they're saved, but all of a sudden, boom, the rapture takes place. And they realize, buddy, we better get saved now. And I believe that's going to happen. And I believe they're going to get saved. Now, many will not get saved. Many who put off the coming of the Lord. And many who say, well, I will wait and the rapture takes place. Many of them who think, well, I might get saved in the tribulation period, might wind up getting deceived and might get up taking the mark of the beast. So the point is, church, we need to tell people it's essential. Don't waste your opportunity. Don't think, well, I'll have a chance in the tribulation. Yeah, you may have a chance, but strong delusion is going to be poured into this world. And they're going to kill you if you name the name of Jesus. And some of you can't even last to 12:30 without eating. And yet you tell me you're not going to take the mark of the beast if you can't eat or drink. Man, you'd be having to slap it here. I want a Big Mac. I don't care about eternity. My friend, we need to get people saved now. You see, people will get saved during the tribulation period, but it'll be at a big cost. There will many be beheaded, persecuted. Now, what is the rapture? Look at 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Now, you've got Pentecostals that are not believing in the rapture anymore. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 through 18. People say, well, the word rapture is not found in the Bible. Well, let's look here if indeed the word rapture is not found in the Bible. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 through 18. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a what? And with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. Again, that trump is not the same as the book of Revelation trumpets. Different. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. There's the dust in the cemetery. And we which are what? Alive and remain shall be what? Stop right there. Caught up. That means we will be alive like we are right now. And all of a sudden, whoom, we're sailing through the air. Folks, that's wonderful news, isn't it? That's a great thing. You want to go through the tribulation period? You want to deny this? You go ahead. I got a blessed hope, amen, that at any moment, praise the Lord, I may be, and it is essential, if you want to experience this, it's essential that you be ready for it, amen. Now, the word caught up is where we get the word rapture from. It's a Greek word that is translated caught up. It comes from a Latin word, rapto, and the Greek word before the Latin came along was herpasso. The word herpasso means a catching away, or it also can mean great joy or ecstasy. Like you go to Belk Tyler's, ladies, and you see that sale on them clothes, and you're just caught up in great joy and great ecstasy. You ask somebody to marry you, and you're standing here as a groom, and the bride comes down the aisle, and you're just caught up in great joy and ecstasy. And all you married men sitting beside your spouse better say a good amen right there. I'm telling you, great joy. This word that where it says caught up, in the English, it's just kind of lame. But in the Hebrew, in the Greek, it means the joy that you get when a baby comes into the world, and a joy that comes when you've won Publishers Clearinghouse sweepstakes, and from Ed McMahon you get a $1 million check every other week. Notice I didn't say the lottery, amen, but the sweepstakes. And so that's joy, amen. The joy that you feel when your daughter or son graduates, and you see them walk across the stage, and when we see people like Cameron standing beside the President of the United States or former President, there's great joy. That's a rapturous moment. Do you understand what that word means? And that's exactly the feeling we're going to have when the Lord returns. We're going to be caught up to meet Him. It means great joy, ecstasy. We're leaving Earth's gravitational pull. Now, I'm not going to say I'm afraid of heights. I don't like the falling feeling, I promise you. I just don't like to be elevated. I guess you could say I have a fear of heights, but I don't claim fear, and fear doesn't have a part of my life. But I just am not very comfortable at heights. I don't like to go to the mountains a lot. I do not like to fly. If I was okay flying, I probably would travel a lot more than I do if I had the money. Amen. But look, we're going to, I know when the rapture takes place, I'm not going to worry about gravitation. Amen. Look at Acts chapter 8 and verse 39. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more. Oh, I'm about to have a spill up here. That same word, caught away Philip, is the same word that we find in 1 Thessalonians where the Lord will catch us up. So here's a very strange story in the book of Acts. Philip meets a man that needs the Lord, and he talks to that man about serving the Lord. He baptizes that man. He gets saved. He leads him to Jesus. And as soon as the man gets saved, the Bible says Philip just disappears out of sight. Oh, you know, I'll tell you, that's exactly how the rapture is going to take place. That's exactly a little inkling of what's going to take place. The Lord caught away Philip, and he saw him no more. Friend, if you're with somebody at work and they're trying to be hard on you, and you've tried to pray for them and you've tried to share the love of Jesus, and they're giving you another hard time, that'd be a great time for the Lord to catch you away, and they see you no more. Why? Because the Lord has taken you where the wicked cease their troubling and the weary are at rest. I wish somebody get happy about the coming of the Lord tonight. I believe it could happen right now. Amen. I pray it happens right now. John chapter 6, verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, it says they were going to seize him, take him by force, and make him a king. The words to seize and take by force are the same words translated call up. So what does that mean? It means that not the grave nor gravity can hold us. We're going to be caught away, and nothing is going to keep that from happening. Oh, it's going to be a force. We're going to be seized. We're going to be caught up. We're going to be taken out and whisked away from this world. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away by these dumb idols. So here is what, that's that word rapture, where we get the word rapture from. Notice, we're called away speedily. Somebody say speedily. It says to be taken by force. Somebody say force. We're going to be carried away. Oh, now look in Acts chapter 23 and verse 10. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should be pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and bring them to the castle. In other words, here is what the rapture. These are all terms describing the word where we get the word rapture from. So the rapture is this, being caught away speedily, being taken by force, being carried away, and being rescued from danger. You see, in Acts chapter 23, Paul was in danger, and they were about to do some harm to him, but they came and took him away. And friend, this world, they may, listen, I don't care how this election goes, and it may not go the way that we're praying it'll go. God has to give people free will, but that's all right. I don't care how the election goes, brother, one of these days they're going to carry, one of these days the Lord is going to carry us out of this place, and we're going to be rescued from danger. I wish somebody would praise him tonight. We're going to be rescued. How not to miss the rapture? Number one, just acknowledge that he is coming. This is serious business. And the church needs to get ready. The church needs to pray, to seek the Lord. And number two, anticipate the Lord's coming. Acknowledge it, but not just acknowledge. You might can know it, but you need to anticipate it. Amen. The Bible says Jesus is coming in the twinkling of an eye. Someone said that the average human blinks 20,000 times. There's 20,000 times a day is the average human that blinks. That tells me there's a 20,000 chances the Lord could come back. Amen? That's a lot. Amen? Amen. Anticipate it. Anticipate it. You know, if the rapture were going to take place in the middle of the tribulation or at the end of the tribulation, you really could almost pinpoint it. In other words, if we knew the tribulation had begun, we know when the tribulation will begin. We know it will begin when the Antichrist is revealed as the Antichrist. He may be on the scene. He may be a leader right now. But when it's known that he is the Antichrist, we know the tribulation begins then. Now, what I believe is that before that happens, the rapture is going to take place, and then he's going to be revealed. It's going to be two in one. And it'll be a great time for him to reveal himself. Because why? The church is gone, and people are going to be confused. And he's going to say, oh, I'm God. I'm for equality. I'm for all religions. I'm the one that you want to talk to. I'm going to give you peace and safety, and then sudden destruction is going to come. But understand this, that if we are here when that happens, then we could say, well, it looks like the rapture will take place in about 3.5 years, because there's a part in there where people say the rapture will take place in the middle of the tribulation. And then, no, some people say it's going to take place at the end. So we'll know 7 years from now the rapture will take place. You see, one thing about our doctrine is this. We don't know when it's going to take place. And I believe the fact that we don't know when it's going to take place, I believe it sanctifies us. I believe it corrects us. I believe, listen, we're told to wait for his coming. Look at Mark chapter 13, verse 35 through 37. Now, he's going to put the King James, but I'm going to read it from the Living Bible. Keep a sharp lookout. I love that, the way it's translated. For you do not know when I come, at evening or midnight or dawn or late. See, if the rapture were going to take place in the middle of the tribulation period, we'd know when he was coming. And we could kind of adjust and kind of, well, I hang this thing until, get myself right until about 3.5 years from. No, he said, listen, watch ye therefore, for you don't know when he is coming, at evening or at dawn or at late daybreak. Don't let me find you sleeping. watch for my return. Next verse, watch for my return. This is my message. I say to you, watch. What is he trying to tell us? He's trying to tell us to, it's essential to watch for the Lord's return. Not only to wait for his coming and watch for his coming, but we're to wash for his coming. What do you mean? Look at Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. I'm going to read it from the God's Word translation. You'll see it in the King James, Titus 2 and 11. After all, God's saving kindness has appeared for the benefit of all people. Verse 12, it trains us to avoid ungodly lives filled with worldly desires so that we can live self-controlled, moral, and godly lives in this present world. At the same time, we can expect what we hope for, the appearance of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. In other words, the rapture is a washing to us. It keeps us godly. It keeps us self-controlled. It keeps us focused. You don't want to be doing something, and at that moment, the Lord come. Right in the middle of road rage. You don't want that to happen then, do you, really? So don't blow the horn at somebody. Why? Because the Lord might return. And I don't think you'll get left behind, but I sure might be a little embarrassed. Oh, hey, Jesus, you know. I remember on Ward Boulevard, right here in Wilson, North Carolina. As a member of this church by the name of Ruby Bain. Sister Ruby Bain is William O'Neill's mother-in-law. And I remember, she was a member here, and she lived down there around Pizza Inn on Ward Boulevard, and I remember a car pulled out right in front of me, put on brakes, got slow, and I swerved out, blew the horn, and when I went by the car, I looked, and it was Sister Ruby Bain. I went from being an angry driver to a God bless you pastor. Sister Ruby never said anything about it. You don't want the rapture to take place while you're watching some bad movie, do you? You don't want the rapture to take place while you're running down to pastor, do you? Come on now. You don't want to, you know, some of these churches have deacons that have meetings and they leave the pastor out because they're trying to run the church, they're trying to run the pastor away. I promise you, if the rapture takes place, every one of those deacons will be sitting there and they can have the church then. Because the pastor probably, if he's godly, will be gone. You don't want to be harboring unforgiveness. Well, somebody didn't shake my hand, or I didn't get a position, or you don't want, you want, listen, stay clean. Listen, he's not coming for a perfect bride, but he is coming for people who are looking for his return. And that doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. Listen, if the rapture would only include perfect people, I would not make the rapture. But I will promise you this. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to be careful how I give somebody a piece of my mind. I'm going to be careful how I treat my spouse. I don't want the rapture to take place and me and my spouse are having an argument. I want to make up, and I want to confess, and I want to ask forgiveness. I don't want to be mad with people. I don't want to be unclean. I want to be ready. It's essential that we wash for the coming of the Lord and purify ourselves even as he is pure. I wish somebody would say amen. You don't want to be sleeping around. You don't want to be allowing things to go on in your house and different things. You want to be rapture ready. Amen. Luke chapter 12, verse 42. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. He'll put the King James, Luke chapter 12, verse 42. And the Lord replied, a faithful, have we got it? We may or may not, but I'll read it to you. The Lord replied, Luke 12 and 42. The Lord replied, a faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his household servants and feeding them. Verse 43. If the master returns and finds that the servant has done a good job, there'll be a reward. I tell you the truth that the master will put that servant in charge of all that he owns. But what if the servant thinks, my master won't be back for a while? He begins beating the other servants, partying and getting drunk. The master will return unannounced and unexpected, and he will cut that servant in pieces and banish him with the unfaithful. We can't say, well, it'd be a long time before the Lord returns. We're just gonna live it up, and we're not going to worry about our personal holiness. We're not going to worry about forgiveness. We're just going to do like we are, and then all of a sudden the Lord is going to return, and we won't be ready. God, help us to be ready. Amen? No known, unconfessed, unrepented, unforgiveness. Unconfessed, unrepented sin or unforgiveness. Do not allow yourself to have unconfessed, somebody say the word repent. Well, preacher, you're talking to the sinners. They need to repent. No. In the church of the book of Revelation, those seven churches, five of them, I believe it might have been all seven of them, he called them to repent. I do know two of them didn't get a condemnation. But understand, we need to be ready for, we need to wash for his return, wait for his return. We need to work in light of his return. Look at Luke chapter 19, verses 12 through 13. I love what the pastor said this morning, that Lester Sumrall said, that it is spot on. God didn't say he was going to build your business. He didn't say he was going to build your portfolio. He didn't say he was going to build your schemes. He said he would build his church. But here's the thing. Get your business plugged into the church. Get your portfolio plugged into the church. And as God is building the church, guess what's going to be built as a byproduct? Your business. You take care of God's business, he'll take care of your business. You take care of God's house, and he'll take care of your house. The Bible says there's coming a day when people will forsake the assembling of themselves together, as some will do. But the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, for the day is fast approaching. Can you say amen? Luke chapter 19, verse 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom. And to return. And he called his servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy until I come. Occupy until I come. I'm going to read that in the New Living Translation. It says this in the New Living Translation, verse 13. Before he left, he called together 10 of his servants and divided among them 10 pounds of silver, saying, invest this for me while I am gone. One of the ways to know that I'm looking for the Lord's return is, am I investing in his work? Am I trying to hasten the coming of the Lord? There are missionaries that need to be supported. There is your neighbor across the street that may go to an unending hell. But before they go to hell, they may actually miss the rapture and be in hell on earth. Folks, we have got to stir ourselves. We have got to, I know we have feelings and aches and pains and sorrows, and people don't treat us right and this, that, and the other. We're like Linus with a blanket. We're all the time just, it's about us. Folks, it's not just about us. We have got to realize there are people that are going to miss the rapture. And I want to tell people that the Lord is coming. Amen. I want to tell them in my lifestyle. I want to tell them in how I invite them to church, how I share my faith, how I give, how I sing in the choir, how I get my family. Listen, if I were a father and I had children, I would make sure they were in church as a priority. Why? Because the Lord is returning, amen. And I want my family to be caught up with me and called away. I don't want to be, I want to be like Noah. When the door was shut on the ark, all of his family were in the ark. I know that the storms are coming, and I know the Lord is returning, and I want to work in light of his return, amen. The rapture is going to take place at any moment, and we need to be busy. We need to abound in the work of the Lord. Number one, it's essential that we're ready for the coming of the Lord, and how not to miss the rapture. Number one, anticipate his coming. Number two, acknowledge his coming. And then number three, accept the Lord who is coming. The best way not to miss the rapture is to be saved. Is to ask Jesus Christ into your heart. Have you done that? People say, I'm so scared. What's going to happen if Biden wins? What's going to happen if this happens? What's going to happen here? What's going to happen there? Listen, there may be some troublesome times out there. But at the end of the day, if I know Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I know my sins are forgiven, and I know that He is my Father and my God, I promise you this, it's going to be all right in the by and by. Can you say amen tonight? Accept the Lord's. The reason some people are not looking for the Lord's return is because they never got saved to start with. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I was wanting the Lord to return. Now, before I got saved, I didn't care if He returned. I wanted to stay down here and party. I want to stay down here and have a good time. I want to be a teenager just like everybody else. I was 11 years old, 12 years old. And I wanted to do what all the other teenage friends of mine did. And I was on that track into seventh grade. I was at Southern Nash Middle now. It was junior then. But I got a fear came on me, and I knew that I needed the Lord. And my grandmother prayed and took me to church, and I accepted the Lord. I said, oh, God, if I don't ever party with my friends, if I don't ever get in with the in crowd, I accept You as my Savior. I repent. Forgive me for putting it off. And He gloriously and wonderfully and mercifully saved my soul. I remember I would ride on the school bus all the way to Southern Nash. See, I lived over in Westmount, and from my home to Southern Nash was 17 miles. And when you go 35 miles an hour, that takes a long time. Well, since then, they built a closer high school to where I live. Nash Central High School was where I would have gone now. But back then, it was all the way to Southern Nash. And I would just, sometimes we would just ride down that 97, that country road, and I'd look out the window, and I would feel such a joy of the Lord in my life. And we would go to revivals with Steve Edmondson, and I loved going to church, and I loved the Lord. You know what changed is when I accepted Him into my heart. If you're not hot for the Lord, if you're not really looking for His return, then maybe we need to start back and go back to our first love. Oh, my friend, He's coming again. Can you say amen? I close with this. Pastor Ricky, come to the piano in just a moment. Yes, sir, I will. Some years ago, a minister in Florida had to meet some friends that were at a train station. He put his friends, or at least put some friends, on a train. And after he put the friends on the train and bid them farewell, he stayed there just to watch for a while. He wasn't in a hurry. And another train came in, and he just watched. You know, he was just a student of human nature, and he saw that when this train came in and people got off the train, he watched those glad reunions. He saw mothers and fathers as they would go embrace children who had been riding that train. He saw husbands and wives as they would meet, husbands coming back from business trips, and what a glad reunion it was. He saw sweethearts as they would embrace and caress, as they often do. You get the picture. In the old days, the train, and they would come off and hug and rejoice. And he, being a student of human nature, watched, and he saw all of the glad embraces. But after a while, the crowds were gone. The people began to scatter. And everybody had gotten on the train that was getting ready to leave now, except he saw a small group. And he looked over there, and there was a man in handcuffs. And his handcuffs had a chain on them that went over to another man. And that chain was attached to a third man. And this man had a policeman in front of him, and a policeman back of him, and a policeman on this side, and a policeman on the other side. And they were putting him on the train to take him to prison. And there was a young wife who was there, and a little girl who was there. And this man just watched for a while. And as they made their way to the steps, the woman started, and a policeman held her back and said, no. And she came and put her arms around the neck of her husband and just wept on his shoulder. The little girl that was there, and obviously it was her daddy, and she clung her daddy at her knees as he was in chains, and she just began to sob and cry. And she said, don't let them take my daddy. Please don't let them take my daddy. Please don't let them take him. But after a while, one of those policemen took the arms of that woman from around his neck, gently removed the weeping girl, And the man said, I saw them as they went up the stairs of the train. And I thought, just one train to so many people, it brought joy and reunion. But to some, that train brought sorrow and separation and judgment. And my friend, that's exactly what the coming of the Lord will do. It'll be a glad reunion with loved ones embracing. But when the Lord comes to others, it'll be judgment and damnation. And I want to ask you tonight, this is serious business. It's essential. Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Would you stand with me tonight? And Father, we thank you tonight for the blessed hope as Pastor Jerry comes. We thank you, Lord, that the train is coming. And Lord, we're not going to be on bound for judgment if we know you. And we ask you tonight, Lord, to strengthen us and encourage us and to set us on fire tonight, Lord. Help us, Lord, to work. Help us, Lord, to invite people. Help us, Lord, to pray. Help us, God, to be ready. Help us, God, to anticipate your coming tonight, Lord. We just give you thanks. We give you praise, for he is Lord. Is he your Lord tonight? He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue. Come on, lift your hands tonight. Anticipate his coming. That Jesus is Lord. And he is Lord.
Hallelujah.
He is Lord. He has risen from the dead. He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Let me tell you about the Comforter,
yeah,
that the Bible said would lead you on. Jesus said that you'll have power when the Spirit comes down from the throne. Now I'm filled with that promise that has brought new life to me. For I once was lost, but
Come on, let's praise him. Glory. I've been born again. Glory, glory, glory. You don't like the way you were born the first time? Try being born again. Brother Cooper.